and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host of the day, Anthony Wood, and with me is none other than a voice of the Houston Texans, Mr. Mark Vandermeer. Mark, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Well, it's my pleasure. Just getting through it like everybody else right now.
Absolutely, and it's been a strange couple of days, strange couple of weeks, but certainly a strange, strange morning so far. First of all, I want to send out our deepest condolences to the Shula family and everyone at the Dolphins organization for the loss of former head coach Don Shula. Of course, absolute devastating news to start the day off, but hopefully we can bring some ray of sunshine into people's houses today.
Yeah, and I was in Miami as voice of the Hurricanes, so I had the pleasure of meeting Don Shula a couple of times, and one of his sons, David, and you know, obviously he's a legend. He's the all-time winningest coach. He's somebody who I think, as great as he was, sometimes he's underrated and under-discussed when we're talking about the greatest head coaches. I know he would have loved more championships, but he did so much with so many different kinds of players throughout his coaching career. So impressive, and he'll certainly be missed.
Absolutely. One of the great coaches at adjusting to new styles of football, you have to say. It's like you mentioned, different kinds of players. He's an absolute legend. It's a real shame to start the day off like that.
Absolutely. And, it's funny because I look at that franchise and, you know, he left it. He actually left it in pretty decent shape. And Jimmy Johnson did a good job with them. Not a great job, but a good job. They had a nice foundation. And they really have not been the same since then. I'm hoping for their sake they get it going again with Flores, with Greer. Let's see if they can do it. They had a lot of draft picks to work out, but we'll see. History is in progress, as always, in this league.
Absolutely. Thankfully, they're in the hands of the magic Fitzpatrick, who, of course, we know very well from his time with the Texans. So they're in good hands for the moment, at least.
Yeah, however long he holds out of the gig, we'll see.
Absolutely. So first of all, how are you finding the lockdown? How are you keeping busy?
Well, I'm very busy. I mean, we've actually had a lot of productivity here. We had the draft, and it was the most successful draft ever. That's very different. You have a lot of Zoom calls, Zoom interviews. Now, there are drawbacks and there are pluses to all this because I don't remember us getting so many exclusive interviews with our guys who really aren't part of the program until, what, last week? That's when it started up virtually, and they can't possibly be going all day. So the weeks leading up to that, we were able to catch up with a lot of guys and get their content out on our platforms. We've been doing radio live every night still. So I've been busy. I've been working long days, and it's been fun for me, and I feel horrible for everybody else, really, Anthony. That's the thing. I feel awful for everybody else. Now, I'll feel awful for me if we can't play games. That's when I'll start to feel, you know, that's when the self-pity will sink in for me. But right now, it's just about the society, the market, the economy. Obviously, the health situation is the most important thing here. And people who are sick or losing lives, my goodness, it's just been terrible. But there's so much to this. There's so many layers to this. And I'm praying we can get through it quickly and get back to whatever normal is going to become.
Absolutely. Hopefully some resemblance of normal will return soon. Obviously, stores and everything are beginning to open up again, so maybe there's a glimmer of hope in the near future. But obviously, you mentioned, obviously, we've had the draft just recently. The dust has begun to settle on everything there. We've started hearing from some of the draft picks. What are your prevailing thoughts on this year's draft class for the Texans?
Well, it wasn't a big class, and we all knew that that was a possibility if Bill O'Brien started to make trades, and he did. And he had those three seventh rounders, and he moved all those picks. But I like the five they got an awful lot. I think everybody has a chance to contribute right away, except for one of them. That would be Charlie Heck. Charlie Heck, the left tackle, or the tackle, wherever he goes, that's like a backup quarterback. It's the kind of player where you hope he's capable, but you never want to see him play. I'd rather see Laramie Tunsil play and Titus Howard play. So Heck is a backup, a swing tackle at best, and I hope he does a really good job being a swing tackle, but you don't want to have to see him unless he's in there in special teams in field goal or something like that. You don't want to have to see Charlie Heck much, especially early. Now, as far as the other guys go, I think Blacklock can help the team right away. I think Bernard can help the team right away. I like John Reed out of Penn State an awful lot. I think that this guy can play a bunch. We'll see how much. He'll be part of some sort of rotation in the defensive backfield, and I know he's going to play special teams. Maybe the defensive backfield rotation is a lot to ask right now, but I think he's got the ability. We'll see if that happens right away or not. And I just think it was a really interesting class that way. Not a lot of guys, but they all fit the profile of what Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby are looking for, that dependable, tough, smart. And I think these are the kinds of players that can hit the ground running, so to speak, where once you get into a camp, they can get up to speed quickly and at least play special teams. You want them to at least contribute on fourth down. And with Blacklock, you want them to be part of a rotation. With Grenard, you're hoping that somehow he either really pushes everybody hard where the pass rush productivity is very high, or he's able to do the job himself sooner rather than later as far as getting in there in long down and distance situations. I like the class, and the undrafted free agents are interesting as well, but unfortunately, without an offseason, you're not going to get a look at these guys right away, and nobody really knows. I mean, the draft is very much a crapshoot, especially undrafted free agency, and you just got to get them in camp and see what they can do.
Absolutely, and I have to admit, I think it was a very solid class they went for this year. Obviously, if fewer undrafted free agents than we'd expected, and as you mentioned, obviously no sixth or seventh rounders as we'd initially expected. But Blacklock, like you mentioned, he's going to be a contributor from day one. Grenard, I think, was a fantastic value pick there. I really do. Fantastic player. John Reed, a very interesting pick. I think he'll be a, like you said, a very good rotational cornerback, possibly in the somewhere around nickel. I think he's a very interesting player there. Possibly move Roby out wide. One of the players that interests me most, I must admit, is Isaiah Coulter. Do you think, you mentioned obviously special teams ability being extremely important, especially further down the draft. Do you think someone like Coulter could have an effect in the return game?
Yeah, it's possible. And I think that he'll get every opportunity in camp to prove himself there, and whatever we get with the preseason, obviously he'll be a factor there. The way the wide receivers stack up right now, you have your big four, you have your four veterans with Fuller and Cooks and Cobb and Stills, and then you have DeAndre Carter. And I think that as far as punt returner versus kick returner, when you talk about Coulter, that's the interesting thing. Can somebody else, what if Reed is a punt returner? What if Coulter is a kick returner? And then all of a sudden Carter becomes, he gets into a sticky situation making the roster. I mean, I don't know how that's going to play out, but that's going to be some stuff I'll be watching closely in camp. Because I like Carter. I think Carter is a good return man. He's not Devin Hester, all right? But he does make some positive plays for you. I know he had the unfortunate moment in the Kansas City Chiefs playoff game, but let's look at the body of work here. And as a receiver, he can come in there and do some things for you when needed. So if those five guys I mentioned are going to make the team at receiver, is Coulter going to make it as a sixth? He's going to have to flat out beat somebody out, or they'll have to make a move or whatever. And maybe they do make a move. Maybe Coulter is ridiculously good during preseason, or much better than expected, or maybe as they expect, and they go ahead and move one of these receivers out. I mean, I don't think they'll do that, but you never know. I mean, it's Bill O'Brien, and he's going to make some bold moves, so we'll see how he does it.
And speaking of the receiving room, obviously Brandon Cooks there, one of the new additions. We heard from him recently. He spoke to the media and press conference. What the quote that stood out for me was him saying that he was ready after speaking to Coach O'Brien to run through a brick wall for him. What were your takeaways from the interview?
Well, I know that Bill is, when Bill talks to these players, he's highly entertaining and motivating. He really is. And they see a side of him that the media usually doesn't see. Now, the closest anybody got was Hard Knocks in 2015, and people really liked O'Brien during that show because you were getting inside the walls, you were seeing how he was with the players, and he was really entertaining. I mean, that was the second highest Hard Knocks at the time. I think it still is. Because of Bill O'Brien, he wasn't giving you any inside information, but he was giving you him. And that was the best they could do because they weren't going to reveal stuff, but you did get a good glimpse of what he is like. And I think the players, look, not everybody's going to like everybody, but I think the players do respond to him. And the proof is in the wins. I mean, they've won a lot of games here. They've got five winning seasons out of 6 years, and they've got the four division titles, and they want more, and we all know it. But they've done a lot more than most teams in this league, so I think you have to go from there. Now, as far as Cooks, and what I gleaned was, first of all these new guys are just great. David Johnson, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, I interviewed all of them, and they're just terrific. They're just great guys, great interviews. You just get the feeling that they're the kind of people you want representing your city. Now, the most important thing is that they do well on the field too, and I think they all have the capability of doing that. Cooks last year, that was a rough year for the Rams. They couldn't protect Goff. Cooks did have the concussion issues. He still played in 14 games. I think Cooks could have a huge year with Deshaun Watson pulling the trigger, especially behind this line. And, Anthony, I don't think we talk enough about it. I mean, this time last year, right before the draft last year, we didn't even have a clue what the line would look like. Well, now we really know, and it's going to be good. I mean, they won 10 games last year, could have won 11 if they decided to play guys against Tennessee. And obviously what happened in the postseason happened, but you feel pretty good about going into the season with this offensive line. So with all that added, with all that being said, I think Cooks can have a good year. I know that Cobb is going to be really handy at third down situations, really nice slot receiver. This group, I know everybody's mourning the loss of DeAndre Hopkins. I get it. But when you just look at this group top to bottom, it is pretty interesting, and they're going to have some luxury issues. Like, who sits if you're starting – if you're going with three guys in a starting lineup, or two even, but let's go with three, who's the guy sitting? Is it Stills? Is it somebody else? So that's why I said it's going to be tough for Coulter, because if they keep everybody and everybody's healthy, they've got some fun problems to have where you have to sit some capable people. I really like Cooks. Here's one more thing about Cooks. I brought up with him because I did a private call for the season ticket members. We later released it to everybody. With him, and I asked him about the catch that ripped my heart out that he made for New England in that 2017 Week 3 matchup to beat the Texans, and I just hated him like poison that day because he's a Patriot, and I brought that up to him, and I said, were you guys amazed at Deshaun Watson that day? Because that was Watson's coming out party. That was his second start. He started against Cincinnati in the primetimer. He didn't throw the ball a ton in that first start. He won the game, and it was really electric with that run, but it wasn't really like a dynamic passing performance, but the Patriots game was. And I was asking him, were you guys amazed? He said, no, we really weren't. We knew we could put up points. We were focused on ourselves. It was a very Patriot-like answer. And I just thought, oh, he's going to fit in really well with these guys. That's why, and like, not that he poo-pooed the interview, because he really did a nice job overall, but he knows what it's all about with this group. Jack Easterby was with him there. They know him well. So that's why they signed him. Ability to fit in. He's going to be fun to watch indeed.
Absolutely. And there was a great tweet that came out yesterday. Prior to 2019, Cooks had zero drops on 51 straight catchable deep passes, according to PFF. Deshaun Watson last year was first among QBs in deep ball accuracy. That is going to be extremely exciting to watch. And like you mentioned, the Texans are in a very, like you said, it's easy to dislike the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, and that's understandable. But at the same time, you've got to look at this group of weapons. Obviously, you've mentioned the receivers, Cooks, Steels, QT, Carter, and then throw in Cobb, and obviously Coulter, and so on. Then you also look at the tight ends, Fells, Akins, Thomas, and Waring this year as well is going to be another interesting player. And then look at the running backs as well, David Johnson, Duke Johnson, both able to move around, both dual threat players. It's a really interesting offense because there's no clear number one receiver, there's no clear target, so it's going to be so difficult to predict. Is that something that is sort of resonating around the organization that everyone's excited about, I presume?
Well, everybody can catch the ball, right? Even Fells, who they signed in free agency last year, well, he's a blocker. You know, he'll catch one a game, maybe. That's it. Well, he ends up setting the franchise record in tight end receptions, touchdown receptions. So that was notable to me. You know, let's think about this group right here. You go short yardage. You have David Johnson in the backfield. You have Fells and, let's say, Akins in a double tight end set. And everybody's bunched in tight, and all of a sudden you spread everybody out. You just spread everybody out. You got, you know, Jordan Thomas splits out. You got Akin splitting out. You got David Johnson. You know, now you go five wide with these guys, and everybody can catch the ball. So that is threatening to a defense. That all of a sudden you have major mismatch problems when you had a short yardage situation, and you just shifted into this different formation. I think there's a lot of that kind of stuff. That's probably the simplest way to put it, but there's a lot of that kind of stuff they can do. David Johnson, look, maybe he doesn't stay healthy. Maybe it doesn't work out. But if it does, and I don't think that's too much to ask, you know, I don't think it's too much to ask for him to have a Carlos Hyde type of year. If this time last year you told me Carlos Hyde is on the Texans, I'm saying, wait, what happened? But let's just say we just had him already. Well, the day they got him, if you told me, yeah, he's going to have over 1,000 yards, I'd say, what? He's never had over 1,000 yards. Well, he did. And I think David Johnson with this line and this offense, with everything Bill O'Brien can do with him, the fact that they scouted him so thoroughly, it could be really interesting. Duke Johnson as well. The running back position is one area where I'm thinking it's not deep experience-wise, so Are they going to bring in somebody? Do they acquire somebody? Sometimes, like I always say during camp, injuries, quote, solve the problem. Like, oh my gosh, we got to bring somebody in. Somebody got hurt, which is what happened last year with Lamar Miller and obviously Deontay Foreman not working out. But I think that they'll have some interesting options there once we get rolling in training camp, even in the building with the running backs they have. Last year, we thought those UDFAs, somebody would really shy, but, you know, Higdon, they ended up not utilizing him, but he's still with the franchise, obviously. And Demaryius Crockett didn't work out for them. But look, they'll figure out a way. I do like what they have there to start. I'm going to be curious to see what they do depth-wise at running back.
I'm going to go ahead and say I would love the Texans to bring in Christian Wade, running back for the Bills, simply because he's British, but also I think he had a fantastic preseason last year, so I think that'd be really exciting. Mm-hmm. But it's a very interesting situation there, and the thing is, like you said, again, going back to that line, it's so improved on the year before last. And I think we forget that a lot of the time, that also Titus Howard wasn't around all of last year either. So there was a lot of movement around that position there. So after 1 year, full year together, having Howard back in the line and then throwing in all of these threats, it's a really interesting offense. And there's a bunch of guys that we just don't know what to expect from. We didn't see too much of QT Thomas last year. We didn't see any of Waring, of course, either. And then, like you mentioned, are they going to bring in another running back? It's a very interesting situation here at the Texans. It's very exciting. Another position, though, where there's going to be more turnover, obviously, is with Deshaun Gibson now no longer with the franchise. Do you believe the Texans think they have the replacement in the building?
Well, obviously, Reed is one, and Murray's the other if you played right now. Now, the question is, yes, is there one in the building? Because nobody would have been shocked if they drafted a safety high, right? People would have said, all right, they had to do it, you know, because that was that before they let go of Gibson, or was it the next day? Whatever. We knew that they wanted to add to that depth already, you know, because A.J. Moore is a safety, but he's really a special teams player who can play safety in a pinch. I believe they think Murray can play. Now, whether he plays well enough is another story, how that all works out for them. You know, they made the signing of Thomas. I think that's another special teams kind of thing, of course. But maybe he turns out to be something there. They have some other ways to go, too. I think they're already in good shape with Reed and the corners. We tend to look at defense like base defense. The key for them is slot corner Hargraves. Is the rookie Reed going to play? Is John Reed going to play in the slot? I think he will play in the slot, but does he get really meaningful snaps in the slot, and is Hargraves part of the mix, or does he not make the team? I mean, there are a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different ways you can go. Look, you don't look at that secondary and say, oh my gosh, they're loaded. You don't do that. But they look like they're in pretty good shape when you start with the two corners, especially Roby and Reed when you go corner safety, and then you go to the other corner and say, Conley, okay, I can see it working, and then you go down the list from there. It's not like, it doesn't look like four Pro Bowlers back there right now in base defense, but they'll have some options. They'll have some opportunities. And I think they're going to be better up front as a group, which is going to make a difference on the back end. So that's what we have to keep hoping. And I do like the inside backers. I mean, I think that has an effect. I mean, Zach Cunningham has an effect in coverage on occasion, or as a pass rusher. You know, Bernhardrick McKinney, not so much in coverage all the time, but I just think that those guys do a lot of damage and they inspire a lot of fear in the backfield, and that does help you out in the back end as well. So let's see how, you know, because if you're a long down and distance, obviously that's going to be favorable for the guys in the back end. So we'll see. It's not ideal. It's not perfect, but let's see what they cook up there. I think that's one position, one area of the team that you really got to focus on and watch the development.
I'm glad that you mentioned Zach Cunningham there, because for me, he really is one of the more underrated players, not just on this team, but in the entire AFC. I think he's an absolute tackling machine. So he's absolutely someone to watch for again this year. And Lonnie Johnson is another guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing this year.
Yeah.
He has been working hard this offseason, posting a lot of videos of him trying to improve his footwork. He's someone that I think I know a lot of people are very excited to see. I mean, have you heard much about him these last few weeks?
You know, I'm glad you brought him up, and I apologize for leaving him out, because he, to me, is kind of a hybrid sort of corner slash safety, because he can cover a tight end. I know he had trouble with Kelsey. Everybody has trouble with Kelsey, right? in that spot at Arrowhead Stadium. But I agree with you. Lonnie, look, posting videos doesn't mean you're getting better, but you have the feeling,
And I know from inside the build, well, they're not inside the building, but I know from what I'm hearing that they're confident that he's putting in the time to make the effort to get better, which is what you absolutely have to do, Anthony. Like, you cannot, in this league, anybody who's drafted starts out wherever they are, they all got to get better. I mean, Joe Burrow has to get better, right? They all have to jump a level. And then year one to year two, you got to keep the foot on the gas and continue to get better, because if you don't, everyone's going to pass you. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You know, standing still doesn't cut it in any business, really, but especially in this league. So I think Lonnie has really put in the time, and I'm eager to see what he does. You know, John Harris and I talk about it all the time on Texas Radio. Is he going to move to safety? Gosh, he's big. He looks like he could be a safety. I don't think they're going to do it right now. I think maybe down the line eventually in his career. But does he play slot? Does he cover big receivers? Is he a situational type corner? I don't know what the answer is for him, but he's one of those guys in the mix. Put him in there and see how he looks in camp, and make your plan as you move toward the regular season.
Absolutely. I know you've got a very busy day ahead of you, so I'll let you go. I've just got one more question for you. You brought up Hard Knocks earlier, and that brought something up for me. I've got to ask you. There were a number of very memorable moments in that, whether it's Vince Wilfork in the overalls, whether it's Brian Cushing on Alfred Blue, whether it's DeAndre Hopkins on D'Angelo Hall. What would you say was your standout moment from that series?
Well, being inside the building, literally, and having my studio right next to the mission control room, you don't see this on TV, but I'll never forget the mission control room. And it's somewhere on my Twitter feed, Anthony. I took a picture of it. It is unbelievable what they did. They took an empty room, and it looked like NASA in there. It looked like they were launching a space shuttle from in there, because all the meeting rooms, all the microphones, all the footage pipes into that room, and the door was barricaded like the cockpit of a 747. I mean, it was, maybe it's a dated airline, maybe 767. Let's go with that. Dated plane reference. But in there were all the secrets of the universe, and I just thought I'd love to sit in there and just listen into all the meetings, because that's the thing that amazes me about Hard Knocks, is what ends up on the cutting room floor that they don't use. And all those people sworn to secrecy of all the footage that they don't use. They're rolling on every meeting, and they don't use hours and hours and hours of it, because it's just not good enough to make the show. I mean, I think that you could like roll a whole like 24 hours of Hard Knocks that didn't get seen on TV, even the boring stuff that you'd find interesting if you're a football fan. But I just thought O'Brien was the star of the show. The Ryan Mallett stuff, because I'll tell you what, stuff happens in real life, and then you don't really know what was said until you see that show, when Mallett didn't make practice and he overslept. Like, we knew some of the vague details, or the vague points of that, but seeing those details in the flesh on Hard Knocks, that was so eye-opening. And when it's your team, you really see how beneficial the show is for the fans. When it's your team, because you know your team well, and then you're seeing stuff that you'll never get to see. Even me, working in the building, working for the franchise, never get to see that. I mean, you're seeing guys get cut. That show blows me away, because, I mean, I have an office. I've had to let people go. I've had those things happen. I can't imagine a camera being on while I'm doing it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And I can understand why the coaches really don't want to do that show. I wouldn't want to do that show, but it's so entertaining to take you inside, to take you behind the curtain and see all that stuff. So I love it.
Absolutely, it's such an entertaining show, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do this next year or so and how they have to adjust it. That's going to be absolutely fascinating. And I think one more moment that jumps out for me is going to have to be Kari Lee doing Bill O'Brien impressions at the rookie
Oh,
meeting.
yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need somebody to do it even better than that, and there's got to be somebody out there, although I haven't seen too many, so maybe that'll emerge at some point with this class.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
All right, at Texans Voice on Twitter, and go to the Texans app if you want to hear our podcasts or watch our videos or whatever. There's always some cool content there. It's always fun.
Thank you once again there to Mark Vandermeer. Now, moving on, we have our interview from earlier today with Texans defensive end Charles Omenihu coming right up. So first of all, thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. For the second consecutive week here, we have a Texans joining us. Last week, we heard from your teammate, Darren Fells. How are you finding the lockdown?
Man, I can't lie. I've been super bored, but as far as working out and stuff, I've still been able to do that. I've still been able to get my nutrition in I'm healthy. So, I mean, the most important things I've got down packed, but obviously I would love to have leisure time and things to do, but because of this virus, it's kind of been hard.
Absolutely. We saw that Deshaun Watson tweeted you saying to stay inside a little while ago. How are you keeping busy at the moment?
All I do is work out, play the game, and that's about it. Listen to music, try and vibe, man. Try and figure something to make my day go by smoother, but I can't lie, it's been kind of hard.
Absolutely. Have you come across any good series or anything to binge watch at least?
Really, all I've been really watching is the Jordan thing. That's been, if I'm watching TV, that's probably what I'm watching. Other than that, man, I'm on the game, man. Just trying to, like, play the game, let the time go by, some, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. It was always going to be a different off-season, pre-season for you, obviously going from your rookie year to year two. Obviously, then throw this in, it makes that things that much more difficult for you. So how different is it at the moment preparing for your second year as opposed to it was last year?
Last year, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I didn't know what my role would be. I didn't know if I was going to have success. Obviously, I found out what my role was. I found out what I can expand my role on and be better at. And I found out that I can have success if I'm just more detail-oriented, study a little bit harder, and just have a plan and be me and execute that at the highest level. So coming into year two, my own personal goal is just to figure out a way to expand my role. Then also in my role that I have, try and excel more than what I did last year, and try and dominate what my role was last year. And then with that, finding a way to extend my role this year and just continue to build bricks on bricks as far as me as being a player. So this year I kind of figured what I need to do. I know how I need to do it, just now executing it and putting my body in optimal like position to do it.
And obviously you came into the league as a fifth round pick last year. I know a lot of my colleagues and I felt that was unfair to say the least. Does that act as somewhat of a sort of chip on your shoulder moving ahead?
100,000,000%. I think about that every day, to be honest. I think about how I felt every day, and it just drives and motivates me to want to it drives and motivates me to want to prove those who had me slotted that low wrong. Like if you didn't look at the tape from college and the Senior Bowl, then I don't know what you're looking at. But I want to prove those people wrong. And then also just motivates me to what individual my goal in the future is to be recognized as one of the best players in the AFC and hopefully in the league. And then team goal, just returning the investment the Texans made on me tenfold. That's what I want them to feel like. With me.
And what's it like for you being able to play in your home state and play for your hometown team? I mean, how important is that to you, and how much of a privilege is that for you?
I mean, man, it's amazing, bro. It's crazy that I've played in all three major cities in Texas, playing in Dallas, and then playing college in Austin, now in the league, playing in Houston, back to where I was born. And so it's great. It's amazing to represent the state of Texas at the highest level in all three phases of this kind of journey to the league. And I thank God for it. And I thank God that the Texans gave me this opportunity. And it's just something that I want to cherish and make the most of.
And you mentioned wanting to be one of the best in the AFC, if not the whole NFL. You're in a very privileged situation being able to learn from the likes of Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt. What's it like being able to learn from guys like that with that wealth of experience and that talent level?
It's a privilege that I undeniably can say that when I hopefully reach that second contract and reach some goals, that I can lean and say that those guys definitely helped me in that journey, just like they had people help them in their journey to their success individually. So it's great having JJ in the room and having Witt in the next room as guys that I can have questions on guys that the offensive line that they've played, just to understand those guys a little bit more and trying to get more critique on my game, because again, I would be a fool if I didn't take their criticism and use it to work and become better, because they want to see my success. They've reached ultimate goals of Whitney being a guy that's been the 10 sack guy multiple times in this league, the hot start that he had last year, and then also getting his third deal, and then JJ with the defensive players of the year, 20 sack guy most of the time. So it's a privilege for sure.
What would you say, so looking back at year one, what would you say are your personal highlights then from your rookie year?
I would say my personal highlight from my rookie year had to have been my first sack, honestly. I know people like see the Titans game and the Kansas City game and the impact I made, and other games might not have been sacks, but just me being a nuisance. But that first sack kind of just like took a gorilla off my back, in the sense that like it gave me confidence. Like I play a lot on confidence and swagger and a tiny bit of arrogance and a little bit of anger, and I play off that and it feeds off me and like makes me want more. It fuels me. It just wants me, like, that feeling I want to like have it over and over and over again. So being able to get that sack, I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Like I can make this a consistent thing. Now I just have to figure out how do I make it a consistent thing. And so that was kind of like the highlight. That was like something I was like I said, gorilla off my back. Thank God. Kind of feeling. I want that repeated action, man. I thrive off that.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that. That was actually something I was going to move on to next. Your first sack, obviously, week two against Jacksonville. First and 10 from Jacksonville's 42. Texans up 3-0, 38 to go in the first. So you're lined up far left. Can you talk us through this play a little bit? What was the call that was made? What did you see pre-snap? And then what gave you that instinct that, right, I've got a real shot here?
We were in the base defense, and there was a defense were obviously out on the edge, so it was a four-man front kind of look. And the tackle, Juwan Taylor, he had us studying him throughout the week. He was really – he showed his stance told you a lot of things. So that particular stance that he had showed me that it was going to be passed. So I played it, and I was just like, I'm going to go with, you know what I'm saying, like what I know, and just using my length on guys, my explosive length and power, and then see where it gets me. And I did that, and like it shocked him pretty well, and like it was a short drop for Minshew, and I had my offhand kind of like trying to figure out where the quarterback was, and my hand just found the ball, and it came out, and obviously a huge hit from Scar too on the backside, but that was just, it would have been topped off if we got the ball, but that was just kind of the thought process, man, and from then on, I just, like, I had the confidence in the world. I had all the confidence in the world that game. Like, we go get another one, you know? So, yeah.
And post-play on that one, like you mentioned, Brennan Scarlett's celebration really jumped out there. I've got to ask, have you got any particular celebrations in mind for year two that you're going to be bringing in?
Yes, I do. I won't say it, but it's a tribute to a certain rapper that was popular, and I'm going to do his dance after every sack, and this year I'm a tribute to a couple guys.
I can't wait. Absolutely. I can tell you for certain that a lot of Texans fans are going to be keeping a very close eye out on that. Now I've got to stick with Jacksonville for the moment. Obviously you played against them in week 9 in London. We heard earlier today there won't be any games in London this year, unfortunately. What was it like, not only as a rookie, but just in general, going over and playing in the UK? I mean, completely different atmosphere, completely different weather. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, no, I like the UK, man. I like the vibe over there. I definitely, like, enjoyed it. Like, it was an experience where I was like, man, I come here on my own and come back to the UK. But it was definitely something that I enjoyed, experience that was something I can talk about for a lifetime, and like I said, I'd love to go back to London and just get a good, really good cultural experience of London and see all the things, the historic things that they have over there.
So do you think traveling is something you might look to do over the next few years?
Something I want to travel to London again. I want to kind of like my kind of like little traveling goals. I want to travel to some wonders of the world. That is something I do want to do and accomplish.
Absolutely. Someone like Larry Fitzgerald, I know, has done a lot of that. Obviously, Deshaun Watson and Kenny Stills as well, to your teammates, we've seen do a lot of that recently. So we'll keep a close eye on that for you. Obviously, back to the U.S., winning the AFC South last season. What was that moment like for you? And did it bring that level of excitement that you'd expect you would get being a professional athlete and sort of in the build-up to it?
Yeah, man, because I've never won a division or conference before. Yeah, I never won the Big 12. So winning the AFC South as a rookie off the jump was a huge thing for me. I was excited. I mean, obviously that's our that's our first, I think, not to speak on the team, but I'm pretty sure everybody would agree that winning the South is like something that you want to do. So that was huge. Felt great. You know, so gives you something. You're like the big dog in the conference or whatever. I mean, it's a new year, so everybody's on an equal playing field.
Absolutely. And obviously, first playoff game and then first playoff win against the Bills. I mean, what was that game like for you? And especially the atmosphere afterwards. That must have been absolutely electric for you on the field.
That was the best. Probably that in New Orleans, even though I didn't play the New Orleans game. Those two were like, hey, it just felt like college again. Everybody was into it from start to finish. The game was crazy. The energy was crazy. Like, those are the games, like, why won't I make a big play in those kind of games? And I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to sack Josh Allen to end the game. And that still haunts me. I remember that play very vividly.
Do you get a lot of plays like that where you just go back to it again and again, either the missed plays or the ones that you made, like the sack against Jacksonville?
No, I think more so the ones I missed. I think about that. I think about Mahomes in the playoffs. I think about Brady. I think about the horrible call they made in London saying that his arm was going forward. I think about almost hit sacking Drew Log versus the Broncos. I think more about my misses, and that's where, like, anytime I get tired in the workout, I have a flashback of that. I'm like, nah, because this could be that extra that could get me from miss or pressure to a sack and change my number from 3 sacks to 6 or 7 or whatever.
And that extra bit of motivation, which guys in the locker room are particularly good at sort of bringing that next level out of all of you guys? Obviously, we've seen likes of Whitney and JJ again in public doing that. Who in the locker room is sort of the hype guy, the guy that gets you all going?
Definitely Jay Reed. Jay Reed has being a younger guy, he definitely has a voice in the locker room that everybody kind of respects. So he's always been that guy vocally that he speaks up and, you know, guys listen for sure.
And I've got to ask, we heard from Brandon Cooks recently, obviously a new teammate of yours. He said that after speaking to Coach O'Brien, he said he'd be willing to run through a brick wall for him. Is he really that much of a, I guess, motivation in the locker room? Is he that good at getting guys fired up?
Yeah, no, definitely. OB definitely knows the temperament of the locker room and how to get guys going without doing too much, you know what I'm saying? So, we definitely respect his voice when he speaks. Definitely want to do anything to, not only for him, but just the organization, the city of Houston, to always have that winning vibe and get over that hump, kind of, that I think, even though it's going on my year two, but just knowing the history and understanding the history of the organization, like, won the South for the last 5 years. So definitely just to get over that hump of, okay, we won the division. Now, how can we, you know what I'm saying, get past and get to the AFC Championship game? So, OB definitely has a way of words to get to the team. Great message, and somebody that I see as a great coach and leader.
Absolutely. And then looking ahead to your second year, obviously it's this preseason's gonna be a bit different from normal, but looking ahead to the season itself, what are your personal goals for year two?
My personal goal from year two is to double my impact that I made in year one, to stack the blocks. That's how I kind of, when I talk to myself, I tell myself, just double up on what you did on year one. So if it was 3 sacks you had in year one, try and get to 6 or 7. If it was, what is it, 20-something, 30, 32 pressures, try and get 60 pressures. I don't know, whatever. So just trying to double up on what I did on year one. And then the role that I had, grasp that role, put a stranglehold on it, and then try and expand your role to help the team win in any fashion. That's basically kind of like my primary goal, like my goals I kind of have down, and the bundle of goals I have. And then before, once we're able to get back in the building, I'm gonna write my goals, my final goals on a piece of paper, and have a message for myself underneath it, and put it on my wall in my room, and just see how it fruitions and see if I accomplish that. So.
Absolutely. And then just to close out, obviously when JJ gets his sack, they obviously play his sort of theme tune, I guess, Turn Down for What. Do you have anything in mind for when you get your sacks, for when they really start to build this year? Do you want a theme tune to be played around NLG?
I don't think I've gone to that point yet. JJ has 2 Defensive Lineman of the Year trophies in his house. He's hit 20 sacks twice. So I don't think I've gone to that point where I really care. I get sacked, but I'll be in my own zone anyway. I'll be lit off of just the fact that I got the sack and then do my little dance. So, whenever God willing, I touch 10 sacks, then I can start talking about theme song and particular song. But till then,
Absolutely.
man, I'm just trying to stack my chips and trying to do anything to help this team win.
Winning is the be all and end all, let's be honest. It was an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I know that everyone I've spoken to recently is really excited to see you play this year. Thanks so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
I appreciate it. So I hope I fulfill everybody's thoughts and hopes, man. I really do.
Thank you once again there to Charles O'Menihue, and best of luck for the rest of this year. That's it for today. Make sure to tune in to the next episode of the Texans Talk podcast. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening. And of course, go Texans.